This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Radio K Pulpit. This is She Excels, and I'm your host, Annie. And what is She Excels for those who are just tuning in for their first time? This is a program for every woman who knows she was created for more. Here we call women higher to live with vision, to walk in purpose, to build mastery, and to shine with excellence. At She Excels, you discover God's blueprint for true success, and that is success by the book, and that book is the Bible. And this is your time right now as you're listening to me, and this is your call. God is going to demand something of you during this episode. Get ready. At She Excels, we talk about becoming the woman God designed you to be, and I'm blessed to be your host, Annie Sone. Welcome, dear listeners. Welcome to those who are tuning in again, returning listeners. I'm grateful that you are here with me today. Today, I'm going to be talking about vision in action, precision for impact. It's important to have precision. And we're wrapping up our series, Transformational Power of Vision. If you've not been listening to that series, it's important for you to go back. And I'm so grateful to announce that we now have a podcast, Amen, She Excels. So when you download the K Pulpit app, please go ahead to the podcast section and click on it, and you'll be able to go down the list. You will find She Excels. Make sure that you listen and catch up with us. But today, I'm here for you. So I want to talk about vision in action, precision for impact. You know, in this episode, I will explore how God gives vision that is precise, tied to a method, a people, a place, a time. We'll see from scripture that even when the goal is the same, the way God brings it to pass is different. Amen. And we'll learn how obedience to that precision makes vision transformational. So stay tuned as we unpack this further. Let's take a break. Welcome back. Welcome back, dear listeners. If you're just tuning in, you have tuned in to She Excels, and we are on an amazing topic today as we wrap up the transformational power of vision. So we are talking about vision in action, precision for impact. And in this segment, I just want to talk about the fact that the method matters. The method of bringing alive your vision matters, the vision from God. You know, one of the things I've come to realize, you know, walking with the Lord and being obedient to what the Lord has called me to do, is that I need to pay attention to the details of how the vision will come to light. You know, it said in Habakkuk 2 to write a vision down and make it plain. And I believe that making it plain is writing out the details of how this vision will come to life. And I know that God has given us so many beautiful visions, and that He expects us to live out, that is in line with our purpose. But the truth is that each one of us may seem to have the same vision, right? And say, oh, what are you doing? Oh, the Lord has called me to help young women. And another person, oh yes, the Lord has also called me to help young women. Another person will say, yeah, the Lord called me to help single mothers. Another person will have a vision for single mothers. And you're like, God, I thought you told me. Yeah, but why is that person having the same vision as me? Yes, our God is going to give us similar visions, but the way we are going to live that out will be different. You need to get the details for yourself. How will I do what God has shown me? Yes, I'm called to single mothers of what age, single mothers in what nation, single mothers in what particular situation. You know, there are so many levels and categories to this particular vision. The vision is broad, is big, but there are details to it, and the method matters. I'm just going to go ahead and read some scriptures that shows how some leaders of Israel had to go about battles. They had to fight the enemy. Though the goal and the outcome was defeating the enemy, the details of how they were going to get that done varied, was different. We need to embrace that. What would that do to us when we embrace the details? It is going to curb out, take away all the competition, all the feeling like this person is better than me, this person's vision is bigger than mine, and so on. What God wants from us is obedience. It's not whether your vision is bigger than another person. If the Lord gives you one talent, he wants you to multiply one talent. If he gives you 10, he wants you to multiply 10. It's not about the largeness of your vision. It's about the obedience and following the instructions that he gives, the details. But is God going to talk to me? Is he going to give me the details? He is going to do so. If he did that for the Israelites, he will do it for you. If he's doing that for his children right now, he will do it for you. If he did that for me, he will do it for you. I've had the Lord give me details. This is how you will do it. This is how you will do it. You will organize events and speak. You are a speaker. You will speak. About what he gives me, you're going to speak on purpose. Yours is to activate, inspire, call out purpose in my children, of course, and my ladies, for example, to be more specific. So the Lord is always, I'm always talking to the women. He's defined my method and my who. You need to go down, go back to the Lord and ask him the details. He gave the details to Moses on the mountain. And Moses came and built exactly what was shown to him on the mountain and how it had to be done. And this was a tabernacle that they had to move and carry with them on their journey to the promised land. But when they got to the promised land, they had to build a structure. It was not the same thing, but it was the same place where people came and worshiped God. You need to listen to the one who initiated the vision anyway. Amen. He's the author and the finisher. He begins everything. And that's why it's so important for you to make sure that the vision you have from God, the vision you're pursuing is the one that came from God. Are we together? Yes, the vision you're pursuing must be the one that came from God. Hallelujah. So Judges 7, verse 20, this is Gideon. Gideon had to go fight. And the method the Lord used was that Gideon's army had to broke jars and blow their trumpets, you know. Gideon 7:20 said, they held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand and shouted, a sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon. You can read on what happened. They got the victory. How do you win a war breaking jars? How do you win a war blowing your trumpets? God knows. That was his instruction. They obeyed and they saw the result. You do the same. 2 Chronicles 20, 21 or 22. This is King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat appointed singers. The Lord said, go, send singers ahead. Where do you see people sending singers to go fight ahead? You send the army. You send the people who are veterans, who are strong, who are war men. No, the Lord said, this time you send singers. In the other times, they will send the army of Israel. But now send singers. And the singers had to go. See, as they began to sing and praise the Lord, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Think about it. The Lord went ahead and fought for them because they obeyed his instruction. They obeyed his directive. They obeyed what he wanted to do. You know, when the Lord told the Israelites that they should not take anything when they went to fight, it was a battle they fought on their way to the promised land. And when they were going to do that, the Lord told them, do not take anything with you when you're coming back from the victory. But you know, there was this family, I think it's Achan or Achan, however you call him. And he took some precious things and hid them. And now when they say, oh, let's go fight Ai. And they went to Ai and they were like, oh, these are fewer people than what we know how to fight. And they were defeated. And they were like, what? How could we be defeated? And the Lord told them, you did not obey what I said. You did something that was wrong. The Lord is the Lord of the battle. The Lord is the Lord of everything he has asked you to do. Don't do your own thing. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the Holy Spirit.
Let the Holy Spirit inform you. What you did before will not be what you have to do now. The battle has changed. The scenario is different. That's why we need to be in touch with God. That's why we need to be in constant communion with God. Because it is not a one-size-fits-all. What you did yesterday will not work now because He sees the future that you do not see, and you must embrace His leadership. You must embrace His direction. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. God is the one that will make the path straight. God is the one who gives His word as a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. You need to be in close communion with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then Joshua 6, 2 to 5, the walls of Jericho coming down by people just marching around Jericho. Where have you seen that people will march around on a solid wall, a fortified city, you know, becomes bare and accessible for the Israelites to go in and plunder? You know, think about it. We serve a great and mighty God. He's going to give you strategies. He's going to give you battle strategies. He's going to tell you, hey, greater is He that is with us than he who is there in the world. The Lord knows and sees beyond what we can see. What we know is limited. Allow the Lord to be able to inform you on the details of where you are going to, how to do it, and so on. So the method matters. If you don't follow God's method, you will not see the victory that God has for us. So this example shows that God's vision is never generic. You know, the goals are the same. What do we want? Victory. But the methods are different. Different every time. Gideon's victory came through broken jars. Jehoshaphat's victory came through worship. Jericho's victory came through marching. What is going to happen to you? What are you going to do? I want you to begin to reflect right now. What has God told you to do? How has He told you to do it? When did He tell you to do it? Think about that. That is what He's expecting of you. Not you adding your own pinch of salt and pepper. No, follow His instructions. Amen. Follow His instructions. As for us women with vision, this means we cannot afford to imitate someone else's strategy, right? Your vision will discipline you to say no to certain opportunities, to wait when others are rushing, and to act when others are hesitating. You need to just be so in tune with the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to just obey. Help me to see. Help me to know the details. Go away and be in a quiet place. You know, I'll always tell you, that is my winning strategy. Solitude with God, alone with God, receiving downloads and going to act on it. And you know, when you act on what God has said, you go with such confidence. So now, before we wrap up this segment, I want us to reflect on something, you know. So vision is what keeps you aligned with God's unique method for your assignment. It keeps you aligned. Stay aligned. Reflect with me. Am I copying someone else's method instead of seeking God's? Think about that question and write it down. Be honest with yourself. You are there alone with yourself, your pen and your notebook. Write it down so that you can make a turnaround and do what is right. Have I asked the Lord for the unique strategy attached to my vision? Maybe you've not even done so and you're expecting a miracle. Let God speak. The next one, what unusual tools or approaches has the Lord placed in my hand that may look strange but are the key to the breakthrough I'm seeking? Yes, you don't need to conform to the world. It does not need to make sense. It does not need to be logical. The Lord will come and do things. We've just read those three scenarios, Gideon, Jehoshaphat, and Joshua going for battle. Strange things He told them to do. Embrace those strange things. The next one, am I disciplined enough to follow His method even when it looks foolish to others? It's not about others. You're living for the audience of one. Embrace that. Who sent you? God sent me. Who needs to be pleased? God needs to be pleased. Do what He's asked you to do. Of course, you need to seek counsel, but let the people who give you counsel be men and women who themselves are so steeped in listening to God. They are so committed to it. Amen. So declare with me, I will not compare my assignment with others. God will reveal the strategy attached to my vision. My discipline will align with God's direction. Father, deliver me from imitation. Reveal the method connected to my vision, Lord. Teach me to trust your unusual strategies, even when they don't make sense to man. Give me the discipline to obey the vision you have given me so that my strategy will have direction and my life will produce victory. This is all about the transformational power of vision. When vision does not have impact, then it's not transformational. And the only way for it to have impact, it must be done God's way. The method matters. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. Welcome back, dear listeners. If you're just tuning in, you have tuned in to She Excels. And I'm your host, Annie. We are wrapping up our series, The Transformational Power of Vision. And we believe that vision needs to be precise, you know. And before we took a break, we're talking about the fact that God will lead you to different people, different places, and at a different time that you thought he will give you the green light to go ahead. So you need to know the details of who have I been called to serve and where will I do this? And when will I do this? And there are other variables, you know. I'm just focusing on those three for now. There are other variables. So we have no business competing, comparing, you know, or, you know, thinking that others are better than us or we are better than others, because it's all about obedience. We saw it that obedience is really what differentiates us. If the Lord gives you one and you do one, you have been obedient. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful in what? Faithful in the thing that the Lord has called you to do. So it was not well done, good and faithful servant who had five, who was able to bring me 50,000 or 5,000, you know. No, it's well done, good and faithful servant, and he will give you a reward. So it's all about being faithful in what he's called you to and being obedient and having a heart that is surrendered. One of the things I've realized is that surrender is the key. When you're not surrendered to God, you will come with your own method, your own strategy, your own thing. You will want to be in your own place, because some places are uncomfortable to be in, right? Jesus Christ said, if you must come after me, you must carry your cross and you must follow me. You know, the Lord might call somebody to a place that is, you know, advanced economically, and he'll call another person to the Amazon forest, you know, to the village or rural areas. That does not mean that God loves one person more than the other. It's that God's assignment for that person is there, and the God assignment for the other person is in this other place. So the heart to live for the audience of one, the heart to do what God has called you to do, is what God is looking for. And one of the things that I love about the Lord is that what he does is that he makes you desire and want to do what he has called you to do. God puts such desire and, you know, compassion even for the people you've been called to serve. So there are some things that when you see people do, you ask yourself, can I do that? You say, no, I cannot do that. You can't do it because you are not called for that. They are in their element. They are enjoying it. Just think about the fish swimming in the sea. You're like, yo, I'll die in the sea. Of course you'll die in the sea. You can't survive in water. You are not called to live in water. But the fish, that's okay. That's their environment. They're enjoying it. For them, that's fulfillment. And that's the same thing about the assignment God has for our lives. You see, God will call us to go in some dark place, through some dark seasons. And, you know, somebody's going through that. You're like, how are you surviving? How are you putting your head above the water? Because they are the person for the job. God could not put you there because you will crash. So I want you to embrace and be contented. I've been saying this. I think somebody needs to hear this. Be contented where you are and pray that God will put his love and shed his love abroad in your heart to love the people you've been called to serve, to love the place that you've been called to serve in, to love the timing of God, just to be at peace with that. Because if you don't, you'll feel frustrated and misaligned. I'm just thinking now as I'm sharing the prodigal son. He thought that it was better to be out of his father's house. He thought that it was better to go and enjoy the world, you know, and enjoy the things that he felt that his father was depriving him of. Say, give me my own inheritance. Let me go and enjoy my life, you know. But when he got there, the reality struck him, and he was like, oh my goodness, this is not it. I'm supposed to be in my father's house. I left before time. You know, I took my inheritance before time. And he came back. He came back to his senses. He came back to the same place he left. The same place he thought was not good for him. The same place he thought was
you know, was shrinking him, depriving him. You know, he wanted to grow and do things. He left and came back to that place. And that is where he found fulfillment. That's where he found celebration. That's where he found people dancing and marrying because he has come back. The place God has assigned you to is your place of joy, is your place of peace, is your place of fulfillment, is your place of celebration, is your place of provision, is your place of ease. Yes, it's your place of ease. Only Jesus could die. Only Jesus could die on the cross. There was nobody who could have died on the cross for us. He was called and assigned for that. And therefore, anybody who has been dying and doing things, that's their business. That one, God does not approve. God is only looking for the blood from his son that atones for our sins. So when you start looking at others and say, hey, I can't do what they are doing. Yes, you can, because it's not you. But also, you need to embrace where you have been sent to and go there. I'm telling you, there are some people who are so, I can imagine the fathers of old who came down to Africa to preach the gospel, you know, and the missionaries and all the people that the Lord used, you know, A.W. Toza, and there's this guy, John G. Lake. You know, there are so many people, Billy Graham, Renard Bonker, all these men who went to places that they never thought they would go to. They did things that they never thought they would do, and they were so happy doing it. God is calling you to that life, a life of surrender. Luke 4:8, it says about Jesus declaring his mission. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Jesus left heaven and came down on earth. I mean, how can the King of Glory, Creator of the whole universe, come and stay on this earth, you know, walking on dusty roads, no cars, donkeys, trekking? But this was the place of the fulfillment of why he had to come. You know, he came to proclaim the good news to us who were poor in spirit, poor in our relationship with God. He was on a mission. You know, and he obeyed. So I want to talk about the impact of obedience. Do your part. Say yes to the Lord. Exodus 3:10, Moses was sent to the Israelites. He says, so go now, this is God saying, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses was sent and he said, yes, he obeyed. Esther 4:14, Esther raised for such a time as this. You know, and who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this, a time when the Israelites were going to be annihilated by Haman's plot. And Esther, a Jewish lady, became a queen. She was selected out of a number of other beautiful ladies in Persia. She was selected, and God knew that she's coming in at just the right time so that Haman's plan will not be realized. So you have been appointed for such a time as this. You just need to obey. And all of them obeyed. You know, so vision is transformational. You know, it is beyond yourself. It is beyond. Jesus Christ said, I came to save who? The poor. Proclaim the good news to the poor. It was not about him. Moses was not in Egypt. Moses was living in Midian with his father-in-law, you know, and his family. He was well settled. He left Egypt 40 years ago. You know, he had no business with Pharaoh. He was not under Pharaoh's oppression. But the Lord called him and said, go back to the place where my people have been oppressed and help them out. The transformational power of vision is about the people who enjoy because you say yes, who are set free because you say yes, who lift up their head because you said yes. Today, we are talking about the fact that we are co-heirs with Christ. We are bound for the kingdom of heaven because Jesus Christ came and died for us. Hallelujah. Somebody thought about us. You too, you have to be thinking about the people God has called you to serve so that their lives will not be the same. It produces impact beyond self. That is vision. T.D. Jakes said in his book, Destiny, he said, when you walk in your vision, you become the answer to someone else's prayer. Who is praying? Who is on the other side of the line needing you to step up? Who is on the other side of the line? Who is praying and asking God? Because the Lord told Moses, I've heard the cries of the Israelites. Come, go, I'm sending you to them. There was a cry of a people. There's a cry of a nation. There's a cry of a tribe. There's a cry of a community. There's a cry of a gender. There's a cry. There's a cry. Who is going to say, yes, Lord? Amen. John Maxwell said in his book, Developing the Leader Within You, he said, a vision is not just what you see. It is what others experience when you act on it. What will others experience when you say yes to what God has called you to? I want us to reflect on these questions. What change should happen because I obey God? What will be the tangible effect of your obedience? I want you to think about that, because that's what is going to push you to go ahead and start walking and start doing the things God has called you to do. What will happen to someone when you say yes? Jesus Christ saw us being delivered from poverty in our relationship with God, and he said yes. What burden has God called you to lift? What burden has God called you to lift? How will your obedience bring transformation in the lives of others? Now I want you to declare with me. Write those questions, the answers to those declarations down. My life will produce impact. Declare with me, my life will produce impact. My vision will outlive me. That's what we're talking about, the transformational power vision. That when somebody's life has been transformed, even when you are gone, if it was a younger person, the person will have a story that has your name in it. And because of the transformation they experience, they too in turn act and transform other people's lives. So there's a ripple effect of the seed you sowed in their lives. My vision will outlive me. Let us pray. Father, thank you for every woman listening to me today. Lord, reveal to her her message. Reveal to her her method. Lord, reveal to her the people she's been called to serve. Lord, reveal to her the season that his vision must be realized. Lord, deliver her from comparison. Deliver her from confusion. Deliver her from smallness. Deliver her from competition, the one that she looks at others and think that others are better than her, or that you love others more than you love her because what she feels she is seeing is so small. Deliver her from feeling inadequate. Deliver her from thinking that she needs to wait and wait and wait and wait. We pray that you give her wisdom to build according to your blueprint. May her life produce healing, transformation, and impact for generations and generations to come. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's take a break. Welcome back. Welcome back, dear listeners. You have tuned in to She Excels. If you're just joining us, we are on the last part of our series, The Transformational Power of Vision. I'm sure you have been blessed. Amen. Just as I am. I have, right? And today we're talking about vision in action, precision for impact. And precision is very important. And before we took a break, we looked at the fact that the method matters. And we realized that there are different ways in which God is going to carry out his plan in our lives through us. The vision he's giving us is going to be realized in using different methods. We looked at the kings who had to go to war, and the outcome was victory, right? But God used different methods. And we said, Lord, help us to embrace the different methods that you're going to use to get us live out this thing that you've given to us, you know. And I want you to know that what God will do with somebody is not the same that he will do with you. Is you have to embrace that the difference. You have to embrace a different strategy. You know, even if you look at the Bible, the lives of the king, the kings, each time they went ahead and fought battles, the Lord will always tell them to do it differently. So you need to embrace that part of your assignment, that the way God told you to do it yesterday or last year, he will change the method, even though the outcome will be the same, right? So in this segment, I want to talk about the people, place, and period, because these things also are variables that we must embrace as we are committed to live out that which God has called us to do, his assignment on our lives. And I'm going to give examples from the Bible that would justify the fact that we may have the same calling, but the calling might have some differences in it. It might be that it will be happening in a different place with a different group of people, you know. and in a different period or season, right? So Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 to 8, and this is the distinction between Paul and Peter, Paul and Peter, right? Paul was called to the Gentiles and Peter was called to the Jews. And the Bible made it so clear. They saw that, I'm reading Galatians 2, 7 to 8. They saw that I had they who the council of apostles at the time, you know, when the church started, you had the apostles who were overseeing the church, and Paul just got converted and he started his mission for God, you know, preaching the gospel. So he needed to come and tell the disciples, the others who had been there before him, that, hey, look here, you know, I'm doing the same thing like you are doing, but I'm doing it with the Gentiles, right? So Galatians 2, 7 to 8 say, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, that's the Gentiles. But just as Peter had been to the circumcised, the Jews. You know, the Jews had a covenant during the time of Abraham of circumcision, physical connection with God. But now with Jesus' coming, circumcision is beyond physical. It's that our hearts have been circumcised and now we are children of God because Jesus died. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is a distinction. The outcome was that men are saved, but Paul to the Gentiles and Peter to the Jews. So the same gospel, different audiences, right? No competition. The only thing they had to do was obedience. That's it. And that's what you have to do, right? Now, let's talk about Elizabeth and Mary. Both women had children when they had no business having children. Mary was a virgin, had never known a man. Elizabeth was past childbearing age. Conception was a miracle. So all of them had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that led them to conceive children, right? But then John was born to lead the way, to prepare the way for Jesus. And Jesus was born to save the world. So Elizabeth would not say, oh my God, because I also had the experience of having a baby when I was past age. It was the Holy Spirit that did it, you know. Therefore, my child was born to save the world. No. No. Or Mary would be like, oh my God, this is my big auntie, you know. She also had an experience, so it means that the Jesus I'm carrying will just be the one to prepare the way. No, each baby had an assignment, you know, even though the way that the Lord, you know, ministered to the mothers to conceive, it was almost the same. You know, the Lord, they didn't give us details of what happened to Elizabeth, but what I know is it was by the Spirit because they had passed age of childbearing. So look at how different the Lord is going to do things through us. And Luke 1, 76 helps us with that. Elizabeth's son John, this is about John. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Amen. So John prepared the way, Jesus fulfilled it. Different roles for the same kingdom, the same working for the same good, the good of getting men saved. But each person had their part to play. And that's what I want you to embrace. Your people, your place, your period. Where do you find yourself in the bigger picture of God's work, of God's kingdom, advancement, plan? You have a part to play. Take your lane. Amen. Take your lane. And let's look at the one of Joseph. Joseph's one is the fact that he got a vision, you know, there in Canaan where his father was, you know, but when it came for that vision to be realized, it was realized in another nation, in Egypt. I'm very sure Joseph had no clue that he was ever going to leave his father's land and move to another country. Everything happened and it was chaos and it looked like, no, this vision will never happen. But it did. The place was different. God knew what was happening. He knew that this vision he gave Joseph was not going to happen there where his brethren were. It was going to happen in another nation where God wanted him to be. You can find that in Genesis 41, 39 to 41. You know, it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, you shall be in charge of my palace. The palace was where? In Egypt. Joseph had no clue that this vision he had was going to take place in Egypt. Somebody listening to me right now, you've received some dreams and visions from God, and you are thinking that it's going to happen where you are. No. I'm sure God is going to move you from there to somewhere else. Not for everybody. Not everybody needs to move, but some people have to move. There might be a woman listening to me right now. You need to move. You might need to move province. You might need to move community, neighborhood, job, country. Where is the Lord sending you to? You know, our God has done that before. He told Abraham, you know, leave your country behind you, you know, and go to the land I will show you. God has done that for me. He gave me that same scripture. Leave your country behind you and go to the land that I will show you. God will move you to the place. There's a place that needs what you carry. It's not where you are. Does it, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes. Good things can come out of Nazareth, and they are moving forward to the place where God is calling them. So Joseph's place of fulfillment was in Egypt and not Canaan. Your place of fulfillment might not be where you are. I want you to surrender. Say, Lord, I'm ready to move. If this vision that I'm seeing is not for this nation, it's not for this city, it's not for this province, it's not for this, I don't know, continent, move me. Amen. Lord, move me. Move me. So vision is precise. It has a people, it has a place, it has a season. And because the assignments differ, competition is not necessary. It's not necessary to compete with other people, because God will require of you based on his assignment and the details of his assignment on your life. So when you know your people, your place, and your timing, you stop comparing and start excelling in what God has called you to. There is a season for your assignment. There is a season for your assignment. It might not be now, but it is going to come to pass. So if God is saying, wait, that does not mean that, oh my God, this thing is not going to happen. Think about Joseph. When Joseph had the vision, he was 17. He was a teenager. But when it was realized, he was in his 30s. Think about that. How far long it took, you know, for that vision to come to pass. So don't be in a hurry. No, don't be in a hurry. I just want us, before we take a break, let's reflect on some things. Who are the people I'm called to serve? Ask yourself that question. Who are the people that God has called me to serve? Am I in the right place or am I misplaced? Many of us are misplaced. Are you misplaced? Ask the Lord to tell you. Am I discerning the season correctly? Or am I trying to force something before it's time? Wait. So Lord, grant me patience, because when you force something before its time, it will be premature. And anything that is premature is going to give you a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. You know, it will discourage you. It will make you despair. It will, you know, depression, everything is going to rob you. It's going to drain you. So you need to wait on God's timing. Amen. Am I wasting energy competing with someone whose assignment is different from mine? Write those people's names down and say, Lord, I'm done, right? Let's declare together. I know my assignment. I will not miss my divine timing. I will not compete. I will complete my calling. Amen. With a surrendered heart to God's place, to the people, to God's timing. Lord, I'm contented with what you've given me. I'm not looking at X's or Y's one and say, oh my God, theirs is so big, it's so huge. They are impacting 10 million people. No, if God has called you to one, he's called you to one. Touch that one, and that one's life will never be the same again. Look at Jacob's son, Joseph. Oh my God, one son brought about the salvation of Jacob's clan, right? Can you believe it? And they became a whole nation in Egypt. Think about that. So when you're touching a life, don't think you're touching something that is small. Even you, as you're taking care of your children, those are kings and queens in your house. Those are our leaders of tomorrow. They are world changers. So look at them with the vision of God and see men and women who touch other lives, and pay attention to your assignment. Lord, show me who I'm called to serve. Let us pray. Help me discern my season correctly. Plant me in the right place with the right people at the right time. Lord, deliver me from competition and comparison. Help me to run faithfully in my own lane. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Let's take a break.
Welcome back, dear listeners, and thank you for joining me today on She Excels. I've been really, really grateful to the Lord for leading us. You know, I've really been touched as I shared with you that it's so important for us to embrace the details of our assignment and the vision God has given us and be surrendered and flexible enough to allow God to lead, to allow Him to lead us and use His own methods, lead us to the people, His own people. You know, lead us to the place, His own place, you know, and the timing of the assignment, very important. So if you are a woman listening to me right now and you have issues with these things and you want us to pray with you, we would love to pray with you. Amen. We want you to stay connected and we want to believe with you that your life has impact and that your life, the vision you carry, you know, that has come from the Lord is going to bring about transformation in the lives of many. So we want to hear from you. What's up us on 081-729-1657. Or you can email us at info@capepulpit.co.za. We'd like to connect with you, to hear your testimony on how this program, She Excels, is changing your life, is making you stretch, grow, dream again, believe again, you know, begin to unpack the potential God has placed inside of you. Amen. Share the message that has stirred your heart. We'll love to hear how God is calling you to excel in your purpose. Amen. So I want you to remember this as I close this session, that you were not called to copy another woman's assignment. You are unique. That's a blueprint that God has assigned to your life, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is a will of God for your life, and He's going to give you the vision for that. You were called to faithfully deliver heaven's message in heaven's way, only in heaven's way. And this is your time to do it. This is your call. This is when you have to say yes, because there is just a lot of work that God has to be done on earth. Before you expire, you need to inspire. So make sure you do your part. Make sure that you're a woman who has embraced the transformational power of vision and is evident in your life. Go and be blessed. Until then, we'll chat again next time. Stay tuned. God bless you. I'm your host, Annie. Bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.